What else do we see now in the formation of the people of Israel? We see the law. Now, I know, we're all Americans here, shaped by the American culture at least. We got a very ambivalent relationship to the law. Because we put a huge premium on autonomy. Freedom. You know, I determine my life. I set the agenda. We moderns, and we Americans are very much influenced by the modern culture, we construe freedom primarily as choice and self-determination. Well, see, when you read freedom that way, law becomes a problem. Because law, no matter how good it is, limits my freedom. It tells me I can't do everything I want to do. Law is an affront to my freedom. But now, can I suggest to you another way of reading freedom? Much more ancient, much more biblical. Freedom here is not primarily choice and self-determination. But freedom is, listen, freedom is the disciplining of desire so as to make the achievement of the good first possible and then effortless. Freedom is the disciplining of desire so as to make the achievement of the good first possible and then effortless. Do you want to see some free people? Those who played the music this morning. Those are remarkably free people. They could play whatever they wanted. You put any kind of music in front of them, they could play it, they could sing it. Why were they free? Oh, because they just play whatever they want. From the time they were kids, they just played any way they felt like it. Come on. All those people disciplined their desire by a whole set of practices. And through that discipline of the law, they became free. Who was the freest person ever to play basketball? I'm a Chicagoan. You got to have the right answer. Michael Jordan, go back 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the freest guy ever to play. Could he drive the hoop? Yeah, better than anybody. Free throw shooter? Great. 2-point shooter? Yes. 3-point? Sure. Defense? Yes. He could do it all. How come? Because he said, I'm going to play any way I feel like it. Come on. All his life, Michael Jordan submitted himself to a series of disciplines which ordered his desire and his body in such a way that he was able to do whatever the game called for. He was free. Let me give you a perhaps silly example from my own life. I was giving a talk about 5 years ago, and in the audience was a fellow named John Lynch. And John Lynch is from a parish I help out at. John was a pro golfer in his younger days. He played on the Asian tour and the Canadian tour, so very good golfer. So I finished the talk, and he said to me, Father, that was great, thank you. You know, whatever I can ever do for you, let me know. I said, you can give me golf lessons. Because I was, maybe I'm a little better now, the bottom 5% of American golfers would be me. I learned the fundamentals of it, I guess, when I was a kid. And I played, and I was just always lousy. At my very best, I could break 100, maybe. And then about 5 years before that, I had just given up on golf. I just had it with golf. Too hard. Put the clubs away. So I said, please give me golf lessons. So, okay. We get out to the driving range at the club. He said, okay, Father, just go ahead and just swing. Let me see your swing. So I swung. And the look on his face, if it could speak, was, where do I start? So he said, okay, Father, let's just take a step at a time. You do what a lot of bad golfers do. You know, you sway away from the ball. You got to turn around your right leg. So he said, I'm going to put 3 golf balls under your foot, and don't sway, just turn around. Okay, so I started doing that. Then he said, you also do what a lot of bad golfers do. You don't turn your shoulders. You just swing your arms at the ball. So he said, I'm going to stand behind you, and now pretend you're a waiter, and you're holding glasses like this. He said, now, turn and give them to me. So I turn. He said, no, not yet. Turn. No, I don't have them yet. Turn. I said, it really hurts. He goes, yeah, I know. And then I got about here. It still hurts. I got about here. He said, okay, that's it. He said, that's where you should turn when you hit the golf ball. Okay. So I got back, and I stabilized the right leg, and I turned my shoulders, and boom, suddenly, there the ball went. There it went. I'd never hit the ball that way. And I'm rejoicing. And John Lynn said, okay, that's enough for today. And you know what I said? I said spontaneously, no, give me more. See, because what was happening? He was giving me something I always wanted. I wanted to hit that darn golf ball straight and far. And he was giving me the loss that made it possible. And the minute I said that, you know what came to my mind? Lord, how I love your law. How I meditate upon it day and night. Oh, Yahweh, give me your law. You see where that biblical idea comes from. The law is not an affront to freedom. The law is the ground for freedom. What God gives us in the law is a way of disciplining our desires and our bodies that we might become conduits of His love. That's why Israel is a people of the law, as well as a sacrifice, as well as listening.